out of Georgia.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're planning on having a great Tuesday here in Brevard County, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's not a Bobcast, it's a broadcast. We might as well have a little bit of fun. Did you know that it is not illegal for Christians to have fun and to enjoy life? It, you know, if in his presence there is fullness of joy, it should manifest in our countenance. And if we got the joy of the Lord living in our heart, it ought to be coming out of our mouth. And so thank you for joining the Refresh Radio broadcast. I am Bob Arthurs. I am the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, and I am thankful that you are tuning in today. Thanks to Advanced Christian Training School. You know, they've been running a free video Bible school on Tuesday nights at our campus now for quite some time. They've got just a couple of more months left before they finish their curriculum. And, you know, if you'd like to get in on the end of it here, they do have other classes that meet at other times. I just don't know what those times are. But you could call Ted and Linda, 633-0432. They will get you fixed up and in the class. And a number of our people have been in the classes, and we're very grateful for the information that they received. So we're into the last chapter of Genesis right now, and we're in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 1, to give you just a little bit of background information in case you missed yesterday's broadcast. Jacob had just died, and he had given instructions as to what they were to do with his body. It was his final wishes. And so chapter 50, verse number 1 says, "Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Now when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Behold, I am dying. In my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury your father, as he has made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the house of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's house. Only their little ones, their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. Then they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, and they mourned there with a great and very solemn lamentation. He observed 7 days of mourning for his father, and when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, This is a deep mourning of the Egyptians. Therefore its name was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. And there's a footnote in my Bible that says that that means mourning of Egypt. Mourning of Egypt. So I want you to understand that it is okay when we have suffered loss to mourn. There are some people who don't go through, everybody goes through a different grieving process and a different duration, And I'm not here to set that time frame for you. In order for Joseph to fulfill Jacob's desires, there was an embalming process that needed to take place. And so Joseph commanded his servants to embalm his father, and that took a 40-day process. But before the embalming, it says that Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. He had got to spend 17 years of his life at the end of the life, and I think about 17 years at the beginning of his life before he was sold into slavery. And so he had got to enjoy the last 17 years. And this, there was no ambiguity about this journey. There was no question of whether or not Jacob had perished. It was evident, and they wept over him, and they kissed him. And I am so thankful for family. Not just biological family, I am thankful for that, but I want you to understand that you should have a church family. You should have a church family. We recently had a memorial service at our church, and there were a few relatives, there were a few coworkers, but there was a whole lot of church family that were represented. And that just spoke volumes to the family that was there. And so I want to encourage you to develop relationships where if they are promoted to eternity before you're promoted to eternity, that, or you're promoted to eternity before they're promoted, that there is a relationship there that says, you know what? Life is going to go on, but there's going to be a hole that has to be filled. You see, it's for us, for Christians who believe in the return of Jesus Christ, that we're going to be raised to newness of life. By the way, I think that is a perfectly reasonable expectation. It's in line with the Word of God. The scriptures identify Jesus' resurrection from the dead as the first fruits, not the last fruits, and that his resurrection actually bolsters our faith to believe that he who raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. So, but it does not, the future hope does not necessarily take away all of the pain whenever someone has gone on to heaven. So they wept over him, they mourned for him, and it says 40 days were required, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And then it says this, the Egyptians mourned for him for 70 days. They mourned for him for 70 days. That is over 2 months. Over 2 months, get this, it wasn't just Joseph mourning. It wasn't just the other family members that were mourning, but it was the Egyptians who were mourning for 70 days as well. What I want to tell you is that Jacob, even at 130 when he got there, he's 147 when he dies, that in those 17 years, he had made a profound impact on the Egyptians to where they too were touched emotionally. It's some people, they might be a little cynical and say, well, it's because of the impact that Joseph had made that they were mourning. And I'm sure that there was probably some of that. But I believe there was more, and I think I'll be able to show you that here in just a little bit. I want to be that type of person. I want to be the type of person that if the Lord tarries and my life expires, that I want my family to have loved me. I don't want them to be rejoicing that I'm gone from their life. I want them to be rejoicing that I'm in the presence of Jesus. But I'd really like to think that they would miss me for a little bit. Evie Hill says, you know, when I die, y'all will will have, you'll be shedding tears and talking about how much you miss me. And then you'll go in there and you'll start eating and telling jokes, and then you'll move on. And I, you know, whenever I'm doing a memorial service or a funeral, I always encourage the family and the friends. I said, pray for them, because for some of us, it's going to be a very quick journey on to back to the normalcy of life. But when you've lost a loved one, it can take a while. And if that's you, I want to encourage you. They recommend, experts recommend, that you not make any rash decisions immediately after you've lost a loved one, because you can end up making some unwise decisions during that time. So I want to encourage you to proceed cautiously. But I don't want just my family to be mourning me. I would like to think that if the Lord tarried, that there would be some folks in Brevard County that in the decades that I've lived here would have been touched by our compassion or by the word or by our life. Maybe it's a joke that I told or a coworker or something, but that they would be touched and that they would also have a sense of loss. And so verse number 4 says that after the 70 days, when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, 'My father made me swear, behold, I am dying, and in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back.' And Pharaoh granted him permission. He said, 'Go up and bury your father as he made you swear.'" Now, I want you to listen to this entourage here. It says, "So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all of the servants of Pharaoh." It doesn't say that Pharaoh made the journey, but all of his servants went. And that means that there was going to be a void there, because it doesn't say some of the servants, it says all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house. These would have been his counselors, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the house of Joseph, his brother, and his father's house. In other words, this was an entourage that was going to be a significant logistical challenge. It's not like everybody's going to hop on a 737 and travel down there and or on a private jet. No, they were going to be making the journey on camels, and these are important people in the day, people of influence, people of high position. And they said, "This man is so important. His life touched us in so many ways that it is worth shutting down the government to celebrate his loss, to celebrate his life, and to mourn his loss." And so all of these people, I don't know what the numbers are, but it was a significant number of people. It says that the only thing that the children of Israel left in Egypt was their little ones, their flocks, and their herds. They left in the land of Goshen, and there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. So my first question that I have today for you is, will the people of the land you dwell in mourn your passing? Not just your family, but if the Lord tarries, would they miss you when you're gone? You see, in verse number 11, the people of the land of the Canaanites, they said, "This is a deep mourning of the Egyptians." This was not just a ceremonial entourage. It wasn't just a funeral procession. This was a period of mourning. You see, when they came to the threshing floor of Atad, they went into another period of great and very solemn lamentation, and there were 7 more days of mourning for his father. So there, this is now the second, there was the time of embalming, then there was the time of mourning, then there was the journey, and then there's 7 more days. Now, I want you to see that that second period is not as long as the first period. In fact, it's only about 10% of the original period of mourning. And it says that they mourned there with a great and very solemn lamentation. And what happened was the people who dwelt in the promised land, now is called the land of Canaan, they took notice of the mourning of the Egyptians. And that's what I want to ask you is, can we set as a goal? I'm sure that there are, you know, multitudes of churches that are represented by the listeners of this broadcast and of this radio station. Could we set a goal that we touch our community with the love of Jesus in such a tangible and powerful way that if we were taken out of the picture, that there would be a serious, serious time of mourning, that there would be a longing and say, you know, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for a life well lived. Thank you, God, for a person of influence. If I can point something out to you, when Joseph was called in originally because of Pharaoh's dream, the dream was that there was going to be 7 years of abundance, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And when Jacob moved, there were 5 years of famine that were left, according to what Joseph had told him. That means that for 12 years after the famine had stopped, that Jacob had continued to live in the land of Egypt. I already told you in another passage about how he blessed Pharaoh. And let's see, I'm looking to see, I don't see that particular passage right now. It should be in Genesis chapter 47. It says, then in verse number 7, then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And in verse 10 it says, and so Jacob blessed Pharaoh again and went out from before Pharaoh. There should be a blessing that comes to our community. We are supposed to be a blessing to our elected officials. We're supposed to be a blessing to those who serve and protect us. We should be a blessing to those firefighters, those military servicemen. You know, something that I have started trying to do is that whenever I see a person wearing a hat or a uniform, a Marine or a police officer, one of the things that I've tried to do, not to leave the other branches out, Air Force, Army, Navy, is I try and say, you know, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And that costs you absolutely nothing. But those few words may make the difference in somebody's day. So I encourage you to touch your community. I would like for all of us to make such a difference that that the people of the community, not just the people of the church, would be touched by our lives. I attended a funeral a couple of years ago, and the man whose life we were there celebrating had touched so many people's lives in the community. He died in his 90s. He had served faithfully in that town for decades and decades And when the funeral home was notified that he had passed, he said, "This man has made such a profound difference in our life that they donated the executive line or the presidential line of coffins to the family." They said, the family said, no, he was just a simple man. And they said, no, he made a profound impact on our lives. And we want to do this and I believe it was at no cost. And so I pray that you and I live our lives in such a way that people will want to honor the God who dwelt inside of us when we're gone. Now, I just want to take you down to verse number 12, and it says, "So his sons did for him just as he had commanded them, for his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite as a property for a burial place. And after Joseph returned to Egypt, he and all his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father." I want to say this as carefully as I can, and that is this: there is a danger whenever we have lost a loved one. There are a couple of dangers I want to talk about. First of all, there is the danger that you could get bitter and angry at God, and I want you to know that that is not the answer, and that is a tactic of the enemy. The truth of the matter is that it's appointed unto us all once to die, and then comes the judgment. And so I know that separation, especially if a mother has died prematurely, I've seen that a couple of times in the past year, or a father dies prematurely, I know that those can have life-transforming consequences. And I don't want to minimize those, but I don't want you to get bitter at God. Instead, thank God that you got to have the amount of time with them that you did. So right now we're praying for some situations that require a miraculous touch, but we serve a miracle-working God. And some people say, well, what if you don't get your miracle? Then I get eternity with Jesus. So there was an evangelist that came through years ago, and he said, "If they hurt me, God will heal me. If they kill me, I get to go to be with Jesus." And you know, it is a win-win situation for believers, unless we get trapped in bitterness and anger at God. David experienced this when Uzzah reached out his hand, touched the ark of God, and it died. And it made David angry. And he said, "The ark is never coming into my city. My friend died." And they sent it to the house of a guy by the name of Obed-Edom. And a few months later, they came and said, "David, you might want to reconsider, because the house of Obed-Edom is being blessed." And David reconsidered, went back and evaluated the word of God, and found out they were transporting the ark the wrong way. And that was what was responsible for Uzzah's death. And so he said, "You know what? We're going to do this the right way." They took six steps, and they began to celebrate on that journey. Every six steps, they offered sacrifices, because they were saying, "Hey, we are making a journey, and we are so thankful." So don't get trapped in bitterness. And the second thing is this: don't get trapped in mourning. I'm not saying not to mourn. I'm not even going to be able to tell you how long you will mourn. It said the custom of the Egyptians was that they mourned for 70 days, and then they mourned for 7 days. But I will tell you that what I see in this passage is that life will get back to normal. It will get easier. It may be different. It may be a different normal. But do not get trapped in the land of mourning when God has promised to turn your mourning into rejoicing. There are some people who say they begin to have survivor remorse, survivor's remorse. And I want you to know, God left you here for a reason. Live. Don't get trapped. Don't get trapped not fulfilling your purpose. Jacob didn't die until he had blessed, until he had given all of his command. He had impacted Egypt. He had done all that he could. And finally it came time to that, for that place. And he said, you know, I'm going to die. This is what I want you to do with my body. Why would we want to live any other way? Do not just go through the motions. Do not get trapped in just an existence. Jesus still has a reason for you to be here. Am I saying not to miss the ones that you've lost? Absolutely not. That is not what I'm saying at all. I've got three sets of three grandparents who have passed on. Did I love them? Yes. Do I miss them? Yes. But I'm not going to spend all of that time mourning. There was a time of mourning. There's business that needs to take care of, things that need to be dealt with. But don't get trapped there. You see, 23rd Psalm. Let me take you over there, because we can quote it by memory so much that we tend to miss a few things. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Listen to that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's where I'm going to end. First of all, I want you to know that God is leading you through this valley. He is not leading you into a box canyon or into a dead end. He is leading you through this valley and through to a table in the presence of your enemies. He's leading you to a place of anointing. He's leading you to a place where goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. He's leading you to a place where you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is your shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is into restoring your soul. Today, this is a Tuesday, and I just want to close by today asking God, if you are going through a time where you've suffered a great loss, that he would restore you and he would lead you on to victory. Father, I pray that those of us here, Lord, that we would touch our community. But Lord, the reality is some have already experienced loss. And I pray, God, that you would restore them, that you would restore them emotionally, that you would restore their hope, that you would restore their joy. God, lead them today. Lead them through the valley to a place of abundance. Lead them to that place of anointing. Lead them to that place where they are aware your goodness and mercy are right there with them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.